other stuff. I hadn't been up there and looked at it since they finished it. Man, y'all go up there and look at that. It's a wonderful thing to see all that technology up there. That makes it so clear when you're at home on TV, you can hear it and see it.
All that. You know, that what a ministry that's become. And that's one of the good things that came out of this COVID thing worldwide. We've got missionaries, we've got churches that went online and developed their online services. And Levi does it in England. They've developed it there and to where they just keep doing it now. And lots of folks watch online. You can watch online around the world. Debbie and I watch Levi quite often. And it's a good thing that came out of this. God often uses things and tragedies to do good things, and that's the way His wheel works in this world that we live in. I was just talking to Jess, and he lost his sister a day or so ago. She was 86, I think he said, and Dorothy Pyatt, is it? Yes. Pray for the family. She was ready to go. They know where she's at today. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started talking about the public ministry of Christ, part two. That we had, I guess, the last time we looked at this a couple of weeks ago. But lots of folks need prayer, and lots of folks sick, healing, and treatments and ongoing. Our prayer list we get on Wednesday night, and lots of prayer needed in our church family. So let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, we thank You for Your love. God, we thank You for who You are, Lord. Praise Your high and holy name for being there for us, being the God that You are, all-powerful, all-knowing. And Lord, we trust You with our salvation, so why can't we trust You with other things? We can. And Lord, we thank You for the hope that You give us, the hope of heaven, the hope that Jess and his family's having, the hope of heaven, and what a promise that is, and the home there forever and ever. Lord, we thank You for all those promises. Now, Lord, give us a good day here in Buffalo Ridge, in the morning service and Sunday school. Lord, give us something from Your word. Lord, we love You. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. So we're looking at the public ministry of Christ. We'll start look at some of His miracles that He did. And let me go to Matthew chapter 8. In verse 27. And here we have the situation where they were out on the water, and the disciples, the ship was about to sink, the waves were big, and the disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." Of course, He told them, He said, "Why are ye fearful, O of little faith, then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And then it said in 27, "But the men marveled, saying, 'What manner of man is this?'" I mean, it's like they couldn't believe it. They couldn't understand it. "That even the winds and the sea obey Him." Now, I was in the Navy on a destroyer. It's about 430 feet long. And we were in the North Atlantic in 1972, I believe, about November. And it came a northeaster, and we was off Boston. And we were doing landing some Marines up at Newfoundland. And a storm came. And we were in it for 3 days. I can understand why those men were afraid. I can understand why the ship was sinking. I can understand why they lost their faith, I guess you could say it that way. Folks, if you've ever seen the ocean angry and been on it, it is an awesome thing to look at. At that time, we had 40-foot swells in the ocean, 40-foot waves. You think about that. You could look out a porthole, and you had to look up to see the water surface. And Harold might have been through some of that, too. But you was on a carrier. Okay, so Harold knows about that. Even the carriers that day were up and down and back and forth. Folks, it's a scary thing, and for I can understand for them to go wake him up and say, we're going to die here, you need to help us. Of course, they were in a little old ship that probably wasn't as long as this auditorium. Round bottom and up and down and all that. And he come out and basically spoke the wind and the waves away. It went from whatever swells they had. I imagine on the Sea of Galilee they may have been 15 foot or so, and it went flat calm. And then they say to themselves, what manner of man is this that can do this? But the disciples, I think at this point of Christ's ministry, he was proving who he was through these miracles. They really hadn't got a grip on really exactly. They had heard it, but they not wrapped their hearts and minds around who he really was. Because they said, what manner of man is this? And I think we can get in that position in life with health, with things that come at us financially, with things that come at with family members or whatever it may be, accidents, car accidents. And we can start saying, God, why do you need to help me? I'm struggling here. And with those we have questions in our minds and hearts. About a lot of people ask why God would allow things to happen. Well, the sins of this world causes so much grief. We live inside this sinful world, on this sinful world. But I think we lose reasoning in some of these things that God can take care of anything. Anything. It can take care of your sister going to heaven. Can take care of your leg healing up. Can take care of healing Debbie. It can take care of Brother Harry and Miss Vickers. And on and on and on. And Joe's wife. And all others here I can start mentioning that's going through things or have been through things. And God, Christ, God is just, let me see. As the old Creek boy says, he's big. He's big. And we lose vision of that. And these guys saw him do this miracle over this. Waves that day. Well, I understand that because I was in the Navy, and you understand that it's a powerful thing. And for God to be able to control that is God. He's the creator of that water and those waves. And other things on this earth that is big beyond our reach and our understanding, and we lose control of health and this and that, and we got to just remember that Christ God is the God of miracles, and we look at some of the things that He did and why He did them, and why. The power of Christ and His miracles, we look at the things that He did. He had power over disease and physical impairments. We see many examples of that in the New Testament, in the Gospels. Power over demons. We saw examples of that. I mean, power. Power over plant life. We see the example of the withering tree that time, and et cetera, and on. Power over animal life, fish in the sea, how he controlled that whale, that large fish that swallowed a man and he lived and went on to see a great city saved, the city of Nineveh. And thousands of people were saved from that story, that miracle. So the power over nature, which we've talked about, the storms and etc. The power over inanimate objects, like feeding of 5,000. And the little children have heard that story. Our little kids, we tell them that story a lot, how this little feller, they took his lunch and fed all them people, and it's an amazing story. Just little things like that. Fishes and loaves of bread. God's power is over little things and over big things. Power over death. My goodness. We see examples in the New Testament how he brought people back from the dead. And we saw children healed, a young man healed. We saw an adult, Lazarus, brought back. And on and on through that, we can see that these miracles taught people lessons. And I look at Lazarus and we often wonder, well, why did he allow him to die? We've heard that sermon. He could have went, but he lingered for 3 or 4 days and finally showed up at the funeral and they'd already buried him. And from that process that went on there, that crowd saw who he was. That was the beginning of his ministry, to show people that he was God, that he was God in the flesh. So we look at all those things that happened there, the power of Christ, and we can also look at the purpose of Christ in these miracles, to reveal his person, to reinforce his preaching, his object lessons that he taught along the way, to reach people, to gather crowds, to express his compassion on individuals. We know that he had compassion that day with Lazarus, because it says as the girls came out and they were crying, he started crying. Even though he knew he had the power to bring Lazarus back that day, he knew what he was going to do, but he saw them hurting. So his compassion from those that were hurting, and he was standing on Mount Olives one day and he looked over at the city and started crying and thinking about what a mess the nation of Israel was still yet at that time. So we see that the purpose of his, as Christ did these miracles, he revealed who he was, he enforced his preaching by teaching lessons, and he reached people. All about reaching people, folks. All these things he did was reaching people for his glory, for the glory of God. And he had the person of Christ. I guess you could say this, and no guessing to it, that the greatest miracle of all was his, him being the incarnation, the resurrection, and his ascension. What a miracle that was. That we all take a lot of those things for granted a lot of times. And we just read by those and we have to slow down a little bit and think about some of these things. Now let's look at his prayer life. An example to us. In Luke 11:1 says, "Lord, teach us to pray," the disciples said. Now why would we have to be taught to pray? Why didn't that just come along? Have you ever thought about it this way? You know, we often speak of the privilege of prayer. Undoubtedly, it's a very spiritual thing, praying is. But did it ever occur to you that praying is not listed among the gifts of the Holy Spirit? I mean, the gifts of the Holy Spirit gives us teaching and prophecy and exhortation and ministering and all these things that we do. These gifts of the Holy Spirit, long-suffering and peace, and all those lists, and on, love and charity and on, those are out to others. That's from me to you. It's what those gifts are about. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to love the unlovely, treat people like we want to be treated, and on, all those gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. But it didn't give us the gift of prayer. Now, I have to look at this like God's a gentleman and he doesn't force anybody to be saved. He wants you to come on your own accord. He wants you to understand in your heart that you need to be saved. Does God have the power to do that? Of course, he could just say we're all saved and we'd be drones. He wants us as individuals to come to him and say, I need to be saved for my sins, and I trust you and what you did on the cross. So the same thing goes with prayer, if you really think about it. He wants us to pray, and that's why he laid it out in the New Testament for the disciples. He wants us to pray on our own accord. He wants us to pray from right here, our hearts, our heart, your heart. Not the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling on you. Now, that helps, of course. But it doesn't. He doesn't want to give us something that just makes us robots in our prayer life. He wants us. He wants it to come from our hearts and have an understanding of what we're saying to God and how we're saying it. That's what God honors, prayer. It's a powerful thing because it, as each individual here has a way to pray. Of course, he talks about praying in a closet, praying in private. Don't be showy about it. And like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those guys standing out in public doing it. And we know all those teachings. Those are examples of what not to do. He wants it from our heart. He wants us to understand that we're serious about prayer. And one of the things that'll really get you serious is when you have a health problem, or one of your loved ones is hurting, or one of your children is sick, or one of your loved ones has had a car wreck, or whatever it may be. And then we get to where we pray for our loved ones that are near death. And it gets to the point to where we're thanking God for heaven that's been prepared for our loved ones at that time. So, you know, the Holy Spirit is there with us, but he's not. And of course, we've got that verse that says, you know, when we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit will pray for us. And I thank him for that. Because there's times in life you just can't say what you need to say. And God knows that, and he takes care of that. But most of the time, God wants us to pray from our hearts. So we can look at the Lord's Prayer, the example that he gave, and analyze exactly what it says. Of course, Christ's habit in prayer, the Bible says he prayed always, and he often prayed alone, and he often prayed all night. I cannot say that I've prayed all night. I don't know that I've ever tried it. I've been out all night with a bunch of teens and prayed from time to time and seen kids saved on all-night adventures years ago. I know Brother Harry's done that, been out with teens dragging them through the woods and camping or going to the fire or whatever you do. And as you do those things, you pray and you pray. And that boy right there needs to be saved, Lord, or on and on and on. But to sit down or stand up, it's a sad fact. If you you start in the evening in a long time prayer. I think our pastor mentioned it a while ago. Before you know it, you're like that. Well, that's not good either. So we as an example, we see Christ here's habit in prayers, and he often prayed alone, and he prayed always. He was faithful in prayer. One of the things that I do, being in the military, we saw these helicopters going often with guys that'd been involved in something. And Steve, I live down near Limestone, and we're in a flight path to the hospitals back and forth with Knoxville and Nashville in this area, and Life Flight goes over all the time. It's just one of the things I've learned to do is I look up at that helicopter and know that there's probably somebody in there that needs to be prayed. I don't know who they are, but God can reach inside that helicopter and help somebody make it. So we, you know, the attitude of prayer, always being in the mode of prayer. I mean, and you meet people along the way that needs prayer. You deal with business people that are just, they need help beyond what I can do for them. God has to take a hold of them and change their lives. So just that attitude of always praying doesn't mean you're forever in prayer all day long. It's just when you have the opportunity and you see something that needs to be taken care of, let's pray for it. So his model prayer, we look at it. Prayer is a secret thing. Prayer is a spiritual work. It's not easy. Now, most of you here are probably prayer warriors, I'd say. You've been here and done that. And you know it's not easy. It takes an effort. And the model prayer says, Our Father which art in heaven, remember that you're a child of God when you say that. Our Father which art in heaven. Because of what Christ did for you and me, we are His children. We are part of His church. Oh yeah, we come to this nice building and facility, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. But if you're saved today, you're part of the church of God that's going to someday be standing at the throne, be standing at the marriage supper of the Lamb, be standing with Christ when He comes back to this earth to do the 1,000-year reign. Be standing there with that crowd at the great white throne and at the judgment seat of Christ and all those judgments. You're going to be part of that because of what Christ did on the cross. That's a lot. We get so much more when we get saved. But just remember that. Our Father, it starts out, which art in heaven. And then you recognize His holiness. Hallowed be thy name. You ever think about this prayer, this model prayer, breaking it down? Hallowed be thy name. Recognizing God's holiness. He is perfect, without sin, immutable, forever and ever. From the beginning to the end, there is none. Take time out of the equation. He's the Holy of Holies. You just got to ponder on some of that. And remind yourself of the second coming of Christ. Because the next thing in that model prayer says, Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. You hear a lot of people say today in conversation with Christian people, boy, I just wish you'd come on. Boy, this old world's a mess. Now, folks, it is. I was talking to somebody the other day in this church, a faithful deacon, and we got to talking about that, and it is time. All things are in place for Christ to come back. But all things are in place because of the way things have happened in this country to be a great witness for Christ and see a whole new generation be saved. You know, I'd like to see Christ come back too, but I'd also like to see a whole lot more people get saved. Now, we can say, well, me and mine are all saved. Well, I mean, I don't know that that's the right thing to say. We ought to pray for others, pray for people. I meet people all the time that need to be saved. And I pray that God uses me in the right type of conversation to break the ice. So when we say, I wish the Lord would just come on and take us on home and get us out of this mess, well, I'm not sure that's the right thing to say. Because the next verse, the next sentence in that model prayer says, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Reckon yourself dead to self. Yield to His will. So that ties back to what I was saying a while ago in the sentence before. Will to His will. Well, what's God's will? That all will be saved. Right? God wants all people to be saved. He came to seek and to save all. So for us to be praying along and say, Lord, come on back. Well, I mean, that's okay. I know we get weary. But let's not get weary in well-doing. Let's not get weary in praying for others. So Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. His will is what's in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Rest in the fact that God will give you exactly what you need. I'm never starved a bit. Devil looking at me. But you just get on an airplane and fly 12 hours and land in some third world country. Folks, the majority of this country has no idea how people live in third world countries. Has no idea. Those of you who have been on mission trips know it, seen it, been around it. There's places where there's still lepers on the street. There's places where people are starving. And a sad fact about it, we've got people starving in this country that need help. What a shame on our government to let that happen. We pay taxes and expecting our politicians to do the right thing. I know we've lost faith in that. But that process is still in place. And we can pray for that process to get straightened up. And on it goes. You know, we've read this to our little children and our daily bread. You know, it's simple, but it's deep. And then the next one says, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Recall the forgiveness of God. God has forgiven us of sin that is so bad it put Christ on the cross. That right there makes me feel guilty. I put Him on the cross. But glory, he did it for me. And he did it for you. He did it for the world. And then we need to realize that. We let these simple truths of the word just roll off our tongue and roll through our minds. And it becomes to where we don't think deep enough, folks. We need to think deep enough about what Christ has done for us. This prayer that Christ gave his disciples here was so deep in forgiving others of their debts. That's a hard thing to do. Without God in your life, you can't do it. How do you forgive someone that's wronged you? You have to pray about it. You have to use this prayer. You have to use the best praying that you know how in God's words and God's scriptures and on to help us to forgive others. And then the next thing says, lead us not into temptation. Regard temptation for what it is. It's the devil tempting us. Folks, at best, we're sinners saved by grace. And it's in our nature. It's in our nature. And we have to guard our temptations. We have to guard what the devil throws in front of us. But then it says in the next sentence, it says, but deliver us from evil. There's good and there's evil. And he says, deliver us from evil. Well, guard the temptation and deliver us from evil. Now think about what those two sentences are saying. And then he says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So we need to rehash the plan of God. We need to think about his power. Think about the person of God that our prayers are going up to. It's a privilege to be able to pray and call down that kind of power. We are connected to that power because of what Christ did on the cross. It's almost beyond belief. And rejoice in your prayer and its answers. It says amen. There's so much in that word amen. We need to rejoice what God has done for us. Rejoice in our salvation. I know a lot of us have been 50 years or more saved. Don't ever get over it. Rejoice in your prayers. Rejoice in what God can do and what he has done and what he's going to do. We can go through that little exercise there with his example. And then we learn that the Lord's Prayer, learn from the prayer life of Jesus, the simplicity of it. Now, you know, I tell you what. Simplicity, the acknowledgement and asking. It's basic. I used to love to hear Mr. Cash pray. You know, and he'd ask God to, and thank God for protecting us for the things that ain't even happened to us. You know, I remember him doing that. I see heads shaking. He'd get right there on his knees and pray that. That's good stuff. Simply praying, simply acknowledging, simply asking. It don't have to be practiced or rehearsed or read from a piece of paper. One of the things I seen the other day, the new governor of Virginia, I was talking to some other fellows that had met him, and he's not afraid to pray in front of the crowd. And he don't pray off a piece of paper either. He prays just like we do, like we should. A lot of times you don't find that. These organizations and these meetings and people, somebody will get up in front and they'll get a piece of paper out and read a rehearsed prayer. Well, I just don't know that has any weight, if you want to say it that way. The weight comes from right here inside. So it's a relationship with our Father. The emphasis, the glory of God, emphasize that. Emphasize who He is and what He's done and what He's going to do. Have hope in what He's going to do. Have the hope in heaven, the hope of being there, the hope of our loved ones there, and get to see Him again. All that. And then it's wisdom. Folks, we need wisdom now more than anything. Our pastor's been preaching on how to witness to the world today that we have in front of us. What do we say to these folks that say, well, I'm okay. You're okay, I'm okay. I believe this is the truth. You know, we really have to be ready, prayed up, studied up, to be able to have a conversation with somebody, no matter who they are or where they're at, and point them toward Christ. And use God's Word. Don't use our own intellect. We start that self stuff. We will get stumbled up and the Word will trip you up or someone will trip you up. You just keep pointing people toward Christ, pointing people toward the Bible. The Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. God's Word says. They cannot argue the truth of this book. They can't do it. Now they can argue with me all day what I think or what I think it may be or what I think it may say, and they can take verses and pull out a sentence out of that verse out of context and try to prove their point. You can't do that. You can't let them do that. You have to be intelligent about it. Folks, we have to be prepared today to do those kind of things. Because some of these young people are very intelligent. Even my grandbabies can outmaneuver me on a computer just about right now. They can take a phone and do stuff with it that I didn't even know it did. So it's another generation there, folks, that we got to be examples. It's on you and I. The Bible talks about that, that these old gray hairs can teach this new generation. We need to pray about that. Need to have wisdom. Pray if you pray for wisdom and pray for understanding, and you have somebody that you know you need to witness to, or someone you need to say something to in a way that won't offend them, that's the problem. We try to, and a lot of times it's family members that we just. There's a level you can get to and you can't get past it. You got to let God do the work. And you know, Pastor Lasley always said, well, you got to agree to disagree with some family members. And there's no use to talk about, well, we're going to be post-trib or pre-trib. And I mean, we can talk about those things intelligently or thousand-year reigns and all that stuff. The basic truth of the gospel, the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We got to have our hearts and minds wrapped around that to be able to impart that to others and have your Bible marked and ready to go there. Wisdom. We need to pray for wisdom. So that's just a benefit of a prayer life with Jesus. Christ prayed for us. Christ is still praying for us. You can see that in Hebrews 7:25. I'm out of time. Christ is interceding for us, and we know that's the truth because the Word says it is. He's there praying for us. So we surely can pray to Him in the way this example, this model prayer that Christ gave the disciples. Just dig a little deeper, folks, in your prayer life. Dig a little deeper. And God will honor that. God will give us wisdom and hope. Hope for loved ones. Hope for health. Hope for everything is there in the prayer life. Hope for those that are hurting from lost loved ones. All that we face in this world is there in our prayer time to help us. Now, of course, we need to read His Word and study His Word and dig deep there and come to church, hear the sermons, get our batteries charged up, and that helps us pray even better. Thank you for listening to me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your love, and thank You for the opportunity that You give us to pray. What You did on the cross and Your coming and all that You did for us allows us, one of the things that allows us to do is to pray to an all-powerful, all-knowing God. And God, we thank You for that. It's a privilege to be able to pray down Your power. Lord, we thank You for the examples that You've given us. Thank You for old Brother Cash, what an example. Thank You for Pastor Lasley talking about all those days that he went over on the lake and prayed down the power to be able to come here and preach. All that, Lord, we thank You for those examples. Lord, help us every day to reach out to You. And Lord, we just thank You for that opportunity. Lord, give us a good day in church. Give us something that we can take home today. In Jesus' name, amen.